الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم النكاح من سنتي وقد قال فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Ulama e kiram, most respected brothers, you have just witnessed two nikahs. How simple, how easy, hardly much time, hardly much effort. Simple, practical, for the rich, for the poor. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, every action of his, which he declared as a sunnat for the ummah, he made it such that it is practical, it is simple, it is beautiful, it has got all the sifats and qualities of kamal and perfection. After the nikah that takes place, whatever we do, then we must not attribute that to the cost of the nikah. Nikah is that simple and easy as you witnessed now. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was rahmatul lil alameen, a blessing for all the worlds. I have mentioned this many times, but whenever there is a nikah occasion, we repeat a few things, because the purpose of the Quran's revelation and the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam is that we should listen to it repeatedly and make it the practice of our lives. Not just listen, listen and listen. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, being rahmatul lil alameen, if he says that nikah is my way of life, then definitely it will be simple, it will be easy, it will be practical, it will be beautiful, it will be complete and perfect. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us guidelines right from the beginning to the end. From the time that the person is choosing a marriage partner, the engagement, the nikah, and then until death, how a person should conduct himself. Everything has been mentioned in the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. We have been discussing over the past few Jummas the issue of shukr, that we must make plenty of shukr over Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ni'mats. But since the audience that is here today has not had the opportunity of listening to those two or three talks, the gist of which was that from the time that we get up to the time that we go to bed, if we have to look around us, we are faced with so much of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ni'mats being showered upon us. So much of His bounties. So if we cannot make too much of mujahada, then at least as soon as we get up, we start making shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That we got up with our sight, we are still able to see the faces of our children. We are able to see our home. We are able to drive our cars. We are able to conduct our lives in an easy way. Allah Ta'ala did not snatch away our sight whilst we were fast asleep. When the person gets up, he looks around, he finds that his house is not burgled. His car is still where he had parked it. His children are still fit and healthy. His wife is still in a good condition. All these are ni'mats of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala which we do not even ponder over. So the more we are going to make shukr of all these ni'mats, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has promised an increase. He will increase the ni'mats. The major cause of the Muslim ummah suffering so much of problems, so much of hardship, and so much of destruction is that we have failed to make abundant shukr of the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala upon us. The greatest ni'mat being the ni'mat of Islam and Iman. And shukr is not only that we say Alhamdulillah, shukr Alhamdulillah, and we go on disobeying Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is not shukr. The shukr of the eye is that we should see that which Allah ta'ala has made permissible for us to see with the eye. The shukr of the ears is that we should listen to that which Allah ta'ala has made permissible for us to listen to. The shukr of the tongue is we should speak that which is permissible for us to speak. And the shukr of the hands and feet is that we should engage the hands and feet in only those activities which are permissible for us to engage in. In other words, all these are ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I gave one example, I think, in the month of Ramadan, that if a person has to give somebody a shawl, a mink shawl, he has to give it to his wife, a mink shawl. Now we know that it's a very expensive commodity. Now this person, out of his love for his wife, he goes and buys her a mink shawl, and he gives it to her. When he comes into the house, he sees that his wife is taking the mink shawl and polishing her shoes. She takes black polish and polishes her shoe. What would this husband do? He will say, such an expensive commodity, such an expensive item which I bought out of my love for you. And is this what appreciation you are showing? So do you think he is ever going to buy another shawl for her? What is the value of the shawl in comparison with the value of the sight, the value of the hearing, value of speech, the price of the heart and the liver and the lungs? Just one operation, a heart bypass, and it's 70,000, 80,000 and 100,000 rands. And here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala provided for us healthy conditioned hearts when we were born, and without any payment. Sight without any payment. Hearing, speech, all without any payment. So all these ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if we're going to ponder over and make plenty of shukr and then use it correctly, then Allah ta'ala is promising that increase. Allah ta'ala says, then I will give you increase in my bounties. We should not think that ill health or poverty or some kind of disaster or calamity is always an azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was stoned in Taif, he was stoned in Uhud. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, whole 2 months sometimes went by and the stove also did not light in his home. Such kind of conditions. But he was the beloved of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the closest to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Ba'das khuda wuzruktu yi qissa mukhtasar. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that is his choice after that through which route he takes a person. I've mentioned this many times that Allah ta'ala either takes a person through the route of sabr or through the route of shukr. These are the only two routes. Either Allah ta'ala will bless the person with plentiful and he will test whether this person is using these ni'mats correctly or not. Or he will take him through the route of sabr, take away his ni'mats, take away his health, take away his wealth, take away his child, take away his wife, and test whether this person is making shukr or not, sabr or not. And in both conditions, if he fulfills the hukams of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then he is the mehboob of Allah, he is close to Allah. So what I was saying is that Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that we should make plenty of shukr over every ni'mat that Allah ta'ala has given to us. And this is the correct way of making shukr, that we use it in the proper manner. One of the ni'mats is this marriage or nikah. It is a ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala which we do not even consider as a ni'mat. We have taken it to be a customary thing that a boy proposes, a girl accepts, and then a nikah takes place and we have some kind of walima, and that is marriage. Whereas it is a great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Out of the many bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, out of the many, many bounties, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned that if a person gets his rizq and sustenance near his home, that is a bounty of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that the person gets his rizq or his sustenance near his home. He does not have to travel distances to go and find his sustenance. He does not have to travel countries to go and look for his sustenance. Allah Ta'ala gives it to him right at his doorstep. That is a great ni'mat, it's a great bounty of Allah Ta'ala, it's a sign of Allah Ta'ala's mercy upon this person. He says that is one, that this person, he gets his rizq close to his home. Then another thing that has been mentioned there, is that this person who finds a wife who is pious and who is righteous, it is one of the signs of Allah Ta'ala's rahmat upon this person. That Allah Ta'ala blessed him with a wife who is pious, who is righteous, who is God-fearing, who understands the rights of the husband. So this is also a sign of Allah Ta'ala's rahmat. And also another ni'mat that has been mentioned in that particular hadith is that if a person finds a spacious home, a home which will be spacious enough for his wife, for his children, for his visitors, it is a ni'mat and a bounty of Allah Ta'ala. Now the more shukr he will make over all these ni'mats, Allah Ta'ala will give him peace, happiness and contentment and satisfaction. But when we begin to disobey Allah Ta'ala, those very gifts of Allah which he has blessed us with out of his kindness, generosity, we use those same gifts for his displeasure. The person who has got health in his body and he's got wealth in his pocket, he's got money in his pocket and he's got health in his body, where does he head for these days? The person who's got health, he's strong, he's fit, then he's not satisfied with that halal wife of his, then he's going to look for other women. And the person who's got wealth, then he will go and use it in the casinos, in the cinemas, in the theaters, and in other places of vice and evil. So imagine using the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala for his displeasure. But yet look at his kindness, look at his generosity, look at his forgiveness, look at his mercy upon us. That in spite of our disobedience and using his own ni'mats against his wish and will, Allah Ta'ala does not seize us there and then. Allah Ta'ala does not call us to account immediately. He gives us a time. Perhaps this person will make tawbah now or later. But gives us a chance to make tawbah and return to him. He's so forgiving, so merciful. So this nikah is also one of the great ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. Now if we have to discuss the subject of nikah, then you all know very well that we will require days and days, but we will not finish. So just whatever hadith will come to mind, I will bring it to your attention. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's one hadith comes to mind, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam talks about the character of a husband. How should the husband be? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, I'm giving you the meaning of that hadith which has just come to mind, which you may have heard before too. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, يَغْلِبْنَ كَرِيمًا. That if the husband is of good character, he is soft-natured, he is pious, he is righteous, he is God-fearing, he is forgiving, he is kind, he is merciful, he is fulfilling the rights of the wife, I'm just giving an explanation. Then in such cases, you will notice that most of the times the wife overpowers him. She dominates him. And we will say that this person is under the domination of his wife. That is what we will say. But what does Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He says, first of all, of course, he says that this is what will happen. If the husband is soft, is kind, is forgiving, then this is what will happen, if he's got good character. وَيَغْلِبُهُنَّ لَئِيمٌ. And if the person is hard-hearted, he is harsh, he is stubborn, he is arrogant, he is full of pride, he is full of malice, he's got no such thing as sympathy, love and affection in his heart, then he will dominate, he will overpower, he will keep his wife under tension. She will be under tremendous amount of pressure. She will be fearing the husband all the time. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Ana uhibbu an akuna kareeman ghaliban, kareeman maghluban. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, I prefer, I choose for myself, I dearly love and like, that I rather be a person who is kareem, the one who forgives, The one who gives to someone without that person deserving those ni'mats. In other words, that person is not deserving of those ni'mats, of that kindness, of that generosity, because of that person's behavior. But yet Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, I prefer that I be that person who has the best of character, the best of akhlaq, the best of behavior. I rather be dominated by my wives, but I want to be kareem. And I do not wish to be of that category where the husband is la'im. And because of his bad and evil habits and character, he is dominant, he is overpowering, and as a result, torturing the wife. He is not able to forgive, overlook any of her shortcomings and weakness. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, I do not wish to be from that category. Now, because this is a gathering of men, we are talking to the ladies, I have mentioned many times, then we will tell them the hadiths where the rights of the husbands are mentioned. But here what we should learn is, how can we make our homes peaceful places on earth? Brothers, I am not telling you just by reading the hadith sharif or just reading some kitab. What I am telling you is experience of 35 years trying to solve marital problem cases. And believe me that sometimes they are so shocking and so terrible. Imagine a husband sleeping with a knife under his pillow. And he says that you will find your throat slit in the morning if you have to just mention to your father or mother what is going on between us. She says, when I go to sleep, this is the fear that I have. A husband gets up late part of the night. He has a dream. He gets up from his sleep and he puts the gun to his wife's head. And he says that you are having an affair with a certain person and I dreamt of it just now. I will blow your head. You have to admit now. She is shocked. She says that I know nothing about that person. I don't even know what you're talking about. I can take qasam upon qasam. Now, is dream any kind of evidence? Shaitan can come in the dream and show a lot of things. He can come in the shape and form of a great buzrug and wali and tell the person that your wife is having an affair with so and so. He can come in the form of any person. Dream is no evidence at all. But yet on the basis of this dream, now this person has got no trust and faith in his wife. And she's going through terrible amount of torture and tension and fear. There are so many cases which we are doing, I'm not mentioning any names. But what I want to bring across to you is that will such a family be a happy family? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, nikah is of my sunnat. It is my way of life. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wants that our homes should be jannat on earth. But because of our abundant watching of the television programs, believe me, the effect that it is having on the hearts, it is unreal. The wives are watching those film actors. They are watching those cricketers. They are watching those footballers. They are watching all kinds of people jumping and dancing and living a certain style of life. And now they want the husbands to perform exactly like that, what they have seen on the television. Now that husband is married now for 20 years, 30 years. Where do they expect him to perform like that? And on the other hand, the husbands are watching all those kinds of things on the television. And they want their wives to be exactly like that, what they have seen on the television screen. And it is creating such amount of dissension, disunity and ill feelings. And then it is leading the husbands to prostitutes, or it is leading the wives to having affairs. So what I am trying to get across to you is that let us not take this nikah just to be a customary thing. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that it is that one of the great benefits of nikah is أَغَضُّ لِلْبَصَرْ وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرْجِ. Considerable lowering of the gaze it causes. If the person has really made nikah for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then it will make him lower his gaze from all other haram. Always we come up with, what must I do in the business, what must I do in my profession. So Shariat is not that difficult and hard that you cannot carry out your profession or go to your business. There will be women that will be coming there and walking, and you have to look around. You are not going to sit in muraqabah there. But then I always say that at such a time, you should picture that my Allah is watching me. He knows where my gaze is going. And He has the power to snatch it away. جو کرتا ہے تو چھپ کے اہل جہاں سے کوئی دیکھتا ہے تجھے آسمان سے. How are you going to hide from Allah Ta'ala? So at such a time, think that if I had been driving my car and there had been pretty women standing on the side of the street, I have to see because I do not want to knock them down. But at the same time, I know there's a truck in front of me and there's a truck behind me or a bus behind me. So how will I look at the road? I will be careful. I will be on guard. I will not look at her from head to toe. So in the same way, you carry on with your business and make istighfar and tawbah over that little haram that comes into the heart. But I am talking about outside world, when we are on the streets, when we are at the airports, when we are in the aeroplanes. The person has just read As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has just read Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik la sharika laka Labbaik. And within seconds he forgets that and he starts gazing at those air hostesses and indulges in so many other kinds of haram. And then what does it bring into that person's life? Nothing but restlessness, anxieties and worries. The barakat of the risk and sustenance is gone. And the person after that, his life on this earth becomes a life of hell on earth. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave us beautiful guidelines. He gave us beautiful teachings. If only we abide by those teachings, then we will find our lives peaceful, comfortable, happy. There will be contentment and satisfaction. Let us be satisfied with those wives which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given to us in a halal way. Those women of the streets, they will not bring any kind of happiness into a person's heart. For that little while there will be some pleasure. Ye mana masiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai, magar us palane wale se kaisi bagawat hai. I agree that for a little while there is some sort of pleasure in that haram that you are entertaining. But what kind of rebellion is that against your creator, who has given you this health, who has given you this wealth, who has given you this strength, who has given you your sight and your hearing and your speech. Lazzat-e-arzi mili. It's a just temporary lazzat the person gets. Izzat-e-daimi gayi. But the person's permanent respect is gone. A person gets caught in a rape case. For how long did he have enjoyment? And then look at the suffering that the person goes through. So shaitan tempts the person. Commit this sin, you will get pleasure. Commit this sin, you will get pleasure. Commit this sin, you will get pleasure. And after that, when the person is trapped, then shaitan moves away. Then he says, why are you blaming me? He says, don't blame me, blame yourself for it. Hasi aati hai mujhe hazrat-e insaan par. Guna karta hai khud, lanat bhejta hai shaitan par. After that, shaitan says that you committed the sin yourself, you cursing me. So izzate daimi gayi, the person's permanent respect goes away. The person forgets at the time of committing the sin that I've got a beard, I've got a kurta, I've got a topi on my head, I've been for hajj upon hajj, and I've made umrahs upon umrah, and I've got tasbih sometime in my hands. The person forgets all that when shaitan overpowers the person. But when the respect is gone, then you cannot buy it back. The person cannot buy it back. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave us a perfect deen. Look at the stories that we are hearing about the Christian priests raping the nuns and so much of illegitimate children being born, which we read in the newspapers recently. Because it is not a perfect way of life. How can you keep them away? That which is a natural instinct in a person, how can you keep that suppressed? Therefore, I have been repeatedly saying in my nikah talks that those who are students at the universities and colleges, if the parents can afford thousands of rands to educate them, to send them there, but they know in what kind of environment they are. And I've got young friends who are, alhamdulillah, now trying to change their lives. They want to come on track. They want to give up their past evils in their lives, and they are saying that this is what we were going through in our lives. So those who can afford to educate them and spend so much there, what is it if you have to accommodate that young boy and young girl, get them married and accommodate them, instead of spending the hundreds and thousands of rands on the nikahs? You rather have a simple nikah like the way we had now. After that, don't go through all the other functions at the city halls and town halls and all other kinds of halls. Just a simple nikah, and then give that money to that couple and say, right, you carry on with your education, but now you have a wife, so stay away from haram. There are so many young people, how our heart aches. It brings tears to our eyes when we have to talk to a young boy, 16-year-old boy, and he says, Maulana, I got caught with a prostitute and I have now been diagnosed as HIV positive. I'm giving you just one example, 16-year-old. What must I do? What must I read? A young person comes from the university, says, Maulana, tell me, what must I read? Make dua for me. I'm in a big problem. One of the African girls has fallen pregnant at the university, and now they want to murder me, they want to kill me. What must I do? Lazzat-e arzi mili izzat-e daimi gayi. Rahat-e zindagi gayi, lazzat-e bandagi gayi. The rahat of the life is gone, and the lazzat of the namazas is gone, the lazzat and the taste and enjoyment of the zikr is gone, tilawat is gone. So these are times of fitnas, and there is invitation from all sides. The media is inviting us towards sin 24 hours of the day. The newspapers, the television, the magazines, everything that you can think of, there is nothing but invitation towards sins. There's such a strong temptation, all sides, strong temptation. Now if the person is going to fall for the temptation, or is going to go near those temptations, then he will regret all his life. We must not think that our iman is so strong. Brothers, today is a public holiday. We'll take just 5 minutes more, quarter to, inshallah, we'll stop. We must not think that our iman is so strong that we will be able to resist all these temptations. Especially now in this Easter time, if a person is going to read the newspapers about the entertainment that has been laid out, then for whom has that been laid out? We should question ourselves, that is it laid out for us? Are we believers in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? If we are, then is all that for us? If it is not for us, then why should we even read that? Because if we are going to read it, then we will end up in all those dancing halls and other night spots, and then we will end up with major problems in our lives. If we want some kind of peace, some kind of tranquility, happiness, contentment and satisfaction in our lives, then there is no other way out. There is definitely no other way out. Let us not look at the disbelievers, because for them that is Jannat. This is Jannat. If this, they are not going to get Jannat here, where are they going to get? So if we are going to say they are enjoying themselves, but still we do not know what they are going through in their hearts. If they were enjoying themselves, then why are there so many of them committing suicides? Why are there so many of them increasing the percentage of drugs that they were taking, because they cannot get satisfaction? One woman, two women, dozens of women, and still there's no satisfaction. Again, that same example of Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh, that sins are like the water of the ocean. That if a person is thirsty and he says that if I'm going to drink the water of the ocean, my thirst will be quenched, then he is deceiving himself. The more water he is going to drink, the more the thirst will increase. It's not going to decrease. So sins are like that. One great wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says that ask a person who has seen all the women of the world, the beauty of every woman in the world. He has been shown that this is the most prettiest of all the women. And after he has seen 1 billion women, then tell him, but there's just one left and she is prettier than the rest. Would you like to see that one? He says, yes, yes, that one too I want to see. There is no satisfaction. We have to speak on these things openly now, because it is bringing destruction to the lives of our young boys and girls. And who are the cause of it? The parents are the cause. And afterwards they say that our children are misbehaving, our children are in drugs, our children have become addicted to this vice and that vice. But we are the cause of it. So brothers, this nikah also is a ni'mat. It's a great ni'mat. It is a protection of the person from the sins that he would have indulged in if he did not have a wife who was halal. So the fulfillment of the rights of the wife and the husband are extremely important. There are so many kitabs that are written in English, they are available. Any child or any young person or woman that is getting married, they should read what are the rights. And when a person wants to open a business, then he goes and finds out all the laws pertaining to that business before. So in the same way, the person that is getting married, he should find out, what does Islam expect of me as a husband? Then overlook the shortcomings and the weakness and the faults of the wife. We will become the mahbub of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And sometimes that wife becomes the means of the islah of that person. May Allah ta'ala give me, give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq of making amal on the teachings of the Quran and the sunnah. And may Allah bless these marriages that have taken place with barakat, with rahmat, and put mawaddat and love into the hearts of the husbands and wives. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.